Tango Tango Papa 2082, November 28, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you once again from Percival, Iowa. So right now I am on my way to Edgerton. I'm not exactly, I think it's pronounced maybe Edgerton. I guess it could go either way. Kansas, it's a sort of a suburb of Kansas City, on the Kansas side. So I have to be there at 7 a.m. tomorrow, the 29th, Monday morning. I could have driven to the place, but I, except for the fact that I don't have enough hours remaining on the 70 hours. So I stopped here because there's a restaurant, the Sat Brothers truck stop. There's a restaurant here, and so I wanted to eat in the restaurant. And so this is as good a place as any to stop, so I'm taking my break here. I'll leave here, try to leave here right around 4 a.m., something like that. That will allow me enough time to drive. I think it's, what does the GPS say, 170 miles from here is a distance from here to the destination. So I'll allow about 3 hours, which it probably won't quite take 3 hours. And then, you know, so I get there about an hour ahead of time, just in case. And so I'll probably get there by probably a bit before 6. And then a 7 a.m. unloading time. So anyway, I'm just kind of hanging out here at Percival, Iowa. It's, what time is it now? 4:21 in the afternoon. So it'll be getting dark soon. I would rather that, you know, we had daylight later in the day, but of course I understand that, you know, a lot of people get upset with the daylight savings time and they don't like the change, you know, and there's only going to be so much daylight during certain months. Of course, I think it's sometime in December, it actually, we have the shortest day of the year, if I'm not mistaken, and then right after that it starts, the days start getting longer once again. That'll be next month, so not exactly sure of the day, but what day that is, but in any case, you know, I would rather that it would be, if we're going to, you know, the daylight would be later into the evening, but you know, that's just the way it is, so. But it'll be getting dark soon. About another hour, and it'll be dark here. So, in any case, I wanted to go ahead and record another podcast because I had the time, and I find that, as I've described many times in the past, as I talk about things in the podcast, as I talk, I'm kind of also thinking out loud. And that actually kind of goes along with like a writing process. If I'm writing something, and usually if I'm writing something, it's basically it's for my own consumption. And I find that writing also can help me clarify my thinking. And so it's actually writing or speaking, both can actually help you think. You know, now you think, well, thinking is a, you know, just something that happens in your head. And it really, maybe in some cases it could be, but I'd say probably for most people, you're gonna, or at least it's true for me, I find that as I'm actually putting words together, putting sentences together, whether it's written sentences or verbal sentences, as I'm putting, kind of going through a writing process or a talking process, it sort of creates a demand for putting concepts together. And, you know, oftentimes I'll end up thinking of something that in a different way that I hadn't considered before. So I was talking with a friend earlier today, and started talking about, you know, there's this idea that people are divided, of course, and that's nothing new. That's been happening as long as there are people, as long as there have been people around. But the idea that people are dividing over the virus. They're dividing. By the way, I've decided the people that are ideologically possessed, I'm just calling them virus bots. And so you have the virus bots, and to be fair, the non-virus bots. I would say both sides are valid. Both sides have their points. But at the same time, to be fair, I think we are possessed by ideas. Now, I know some people don't want to, they don't like the idea of ideological possession. But it's, you have to say it that way. You can't just say, well, it's tribalism. A lot of people love to say tribalism. Well, that's, you could say it's tribalism. But that's not very specific. It's not specific enough. Ideological possession is much more specific. And it sort of implies something that's much more specific. And we are possessed by ideas. And the possession of those by those ideas goes back to our value system. Our value system sort of helps determine what ideas can sort of attach themselves to us and take us over. So, but, you know, so if you have like the vax bots, you know, like my mom, I would, you know, she goes into that category, she's a vax bot. She believes that the virus is like a magical savior, and it has the virus has, you know, and she may, I don't know if she tried to say it's scientific or whatever, but they're looking at it as a magical savior, and that's the way she looks at it. And you know, she honestly believes it. You know, I don't, you know, there's nothing malicious about it. She honestly believes it. Well, I beg to differ. I honestly believe that I don't want it. You know, I'm not going to take it. And, you know, so I've decided that this is going to be a topic that's just completely off limits. You know, if she starts to talk about the virus or especially the vaccine, any of the vaccines, I'm going to just shut it down. In the same way that I shut down any kind of, whenever she tries to get political with me and start, you know, with that, I just shut it off. I shut it down. not gonna engage because there is no solution to the problem. There's nothing to be discussed, therefore. So and that really does work as far as keeping the peace. Because when it comes to politics, and now when it comes to this virus and this vaccine, there's nothing to discuss. And there's really no point in trying to discuss it any further. Because it simply results in hard feelings. But back to the thing I was thinking about. What is it that would cause someone to... And it's actually happening now. People are dropping friends, or quote-unquote friends. They're dropping friends based on the fact that they won't do the vax. And I think it's primarily the vax bots that are dropping their friends, their non-vax friends. Now, they could make an argument in person. They could make, my mother, for example, could make an argument, well, if you don't have the vaccine, then I can't be around you. And she could make that argument. I don't think it's very, because it's pretty obvious that there's a lot of people that are vaccine, they have the vaccine, and by golly, they're getting infected right and left more than you could shake a stick at. And so if they're infected, then that means that they're shedding virus. Sorry. They're every bit as dangerous as anybody could be, as far, you know, somebody's, so it doesn't really matter whether you're vaccinated or not. But maybe she believes the narrative. She believes what's she's seen on television. She honestly believes it. Well, that's her right, you know, in person. But there are people that have, online friends that they're also dropping because, well, they're non-vax, I can't be associated with that. Now, what is it that can cause that kind of thing? And I've seen this sort of behavior before. It's actually all over the place, and it's nothing new. It's been around as long as there's been human beings, but I've seen this sort of behavior, sort of a cliquish behavior, a clannish behavior, and I've seen it in my own relatives. I've got some relatives that, they kind of belong, and I guess belong really is the right word, belong to the Church of Christ. And you could kind of see sort of cliquish, clannish behavior. Well, we don't have anything to do with non-Church of Christ people. You kind of get that impression that they really didn't want to have anything to do with non-Church of Christ people. Now, why would that? And the same thing can happen in other types of cults. Now, what is the deal? Why would you, if you belong to a group like that, and I'm literally using the word belong, you belong to a group like that, why would you feel uneasy about spending time with, interacting with non-members of your group? What's the fear? And I think it really goes back to ground of being. Now, what is ground of being? Ground of being really has to do with consciousness. What is your consciousness founded on? What is at the root of your consciousness? And if the root of your, if your consciousness is sort of founded on the sand, really, of a group identity, whatever the group is, if it's founded on, you know, this is our belief system, we believe this, we believe, and it could be very specific, we believe this, we believe that, we don't believe in this, etc., 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 and you better not, don't interact with these other people because they might shake your belief. And I think that's the real issue, is that people can become cliquish or clannish because they're afraid that the false god totem that they have in the corner, that they're worshiping in the corner of their mind, could be shaken. It could be on a, you know, kind of perched, you know, kind of wobbly on sand. So I think that's got something to do with it. But I have seen that behavior in, you know, in the church, you know, certain church things. And let's face it, they all can't be right. You know, this group says this and that group says that. You know, and what really, I mean, when it comes down to it, as far as religion goes, you know, if you've got the right ground of being, then it doesn't matter what the group says or the group thinks or the, or what the, you don't have to, you actually don't have to belong to the group. The Bible says to be in the world and not of it. What does that mean? What do those words mean? It means that if you have the right ground of being for your consciousness, if your consciousness has the right ground of being, you can interact with the world without absorbing it. That's what it really means. So people want to stick to whatever their little group is because they're afraid they're going to end up absorbing aspects of another group. So that's really at the root of the this division. And you know, so all you have to do, you know, people, the reason people kind of split themselves up into groups like that, or those sorts of groups where they become cliquish and clannish, is because they really don't have the right ground of being, and they adopt the groupthink. And all you have to do is just upset people. Because they adopted that as a result of upset, and all you have to do is just agitate them, and then it makes it, you know, it renews the upset, and you can divide them even further. And it applies to people that are, it doesn't matter whether you're a religious person, you think you're a religious person, or you think you're an atheist, or you think you're just somewhere in the middle in between those two, doesn't matter. We all think religiously. That's the way our minds work. The world is too complicated. We develop models, working models, hopefully successful working models, of the way the world works, or at least our portion of the world. We develop these models, and hopefully they're successful. They're close enough to being successful. They're close enough to reality so that they're successful. But we end up with faith, and we end up with we put our faith into different things. And this is true in the physical world, You know, you see a chair and you think, well, that's something I can sit on, and you sit down on it and it doesn't collapse. And so you kind of were able to sort of look at it, and you're constantly judging things as you look at them. You may not, and that's completely unconscious, by the way. That's an unconscious process. Everything you look at, you're judging. Is this good? Is it bad? Will this hold my weight up? Will this, you know, if I walk forward, am I going to fall through the floor? Or if I walk forward, is my foot going to slip out from under me, et cetera, et cetera. So you're constantly, there's a portion of your brain that you're not even conscious of that is constantly judging the world around you. But we really work off of a faith-based system, and most of the time it works pretty well. At least, you know, this is the physical world. Now, the same thing is true of basically the metaphysical world, or you could say the spiritual world. Spiritual meaning not woo-woo spiritual, but spiritual meaning the world of the non-physical world of ideas and mind and consciousness, because that world and how to behave, we basically work off of the same model. We have different rituals that we, you know, and you may not think you're engaging in rituals, but where you are. If you interact successfully with other people each day, you're engaging in all kinds of different rituals that you're not even aware of that are rituals. So, but it's all based on faith, and we kind of have faith in the rituals and faith in each other. Essentially, in order to be able to successfully interact, we have faith with each other, in each other, and sort of shared games, as it were. Because we do kind of play games with each other. And I'm not meaning in a negative sense, but we do kind of play interactive games with each other, and if we do that properly, then we all benefit. Because, you know, and the other part of it is we're not equal. You know, this idea that we can all just be equal and we can all be the same, it doesn't, you know, it, the world can't work that way. Because the whole idea of being able to trade is, you know, the fact I'm good at something and you're better at something else and the person over here is better at something else, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then I'm able to bring something and trade something with you that you can trade back with me that, you know, so everybody isn't equally good or equally bad at everything. We all have to be able to bring something unique to the table in order to be able to trade with each other. Now, of course, you can replicate that over large groups of people, but the principle is there. The fact that we're unequal actually brings about commerce. And if you eliminate the inequality, then you eliminate the very thing that is really the best part of us. You eliminate the necessity to be able, or the ability to be able to trade. You know, and we really are kind of playing trading games. By the way, that's why it's important when, you know, like if you have a little kid, it's really important for the parents to play games with them. That sets them up to learn later. And if they don't have anyone to play games with, it really puts them at a disadvantage. A substantial disadvantage. So I think the point is, if you can, you know, it's hard to, you know, say that you're ideologized. You know, it's really hard to admit that you or let's say me. It's really hard to see our own ideological possession. Very difficult, because, you know, we can come up all day long with excuses as to why, well, this is why I think this way, or that's why I think this way. This is why I believe this way. That's why I believe this way. And we can do that all day long, but the fact is that we are, to varying degrees in a myriad of different ways, ideologically possessed. And as I say, it's very difficult to admit that it's even possible, because people want to believe that they're in charge of their own thoughts. But often we are not, and that's just the fact. So it's important, you know, to be open. You know, and there's varying degrees of openness, and that's actually a personality trait. And I've taken, you know, there's a Jordan Peterson personality test that, and I took it. And I am actually, like, on the scale of openness, I'm just sort of like off the scale open, which is unusual because I'm also, you know, conservative. Because usually it's, you know, the off the scale open people are typically liberals. That, you know, they kind of typically end up as liberals, but I'm not. I'm, you know, I tend to be a conservative. So, but that also happens. But in any case, I'm open to new experiences. I'm open to, as particularly open to ideas, curious about ideas, different ideas, different cultures, different, all kinds of different things. So I don't have a problem, kind of looking at all kinds of different things. But, I also come to conclusions. And it's probably a certainty that some of those conclusions that I've come to are, you know, I am probably ideologically possessed by them. And that's just a fact. And that's certainly true with a lot of, probably all of us. So therefore, you know, if you see that you're having a discussion and you see usually you can see the other person is ideologically possessed before you can see your own. But if you can see it, there's really no point in continuing the discussion. If you can tell, or I can tell if I'm having a conversation with someone, I can tell if I'm kind of running into a brick wall or not pretty quick. I could tell that. And it really is a method of saving your breath is to just be able to recognize that and just give up on it really quick, because all you're going to do is create friction, and you really don't want to do that. But as far as the vax spots go, I have a live and let live attitude. If you want your vaccine, take it. You know, have your vaccine, but don't try to push it off on me. You know, it's your vaccine isn't to save. It's not God. It's not going to save you. It's not going to save society. And it's not going to make the world go back to the way it was. This virus is here to stay. It's endemic. not going to go anywhere. It's going to be around. You know, and then they want to, you know, go back to the 1918 pandemic. Well, did you realize that 30% of that had a 30% mortality rate? It wiped out about 30% of the people that got it. Now, do you think that the COVID or any of the so-called COVID variants are even approaching 30%? Of course not. It's not even on the same, not even on the same page, same scale. You know, and they'll come back with the idea, well, it spreads around and it's gonna, we're gonna have a worse variant. Or we might have. You know, so, but the idea that everybody has to do this is absurd. Really ridiculous. But that's a sign, you know, when you, when someone comes along and says everybody has to do this, everybody has to believe this way, everyone has to do this, that's a sign of ideological possession. Sorry, but that's there is no universal, you can't come along with some universal thing and say this is for everybody. Everybody must do this. That's a totalitarian idea, and any kind of a totalitarian idea is, by definition, an ideological possession. So the other thing, you know, I realize that my mom especially, but my dad as well, but certainly my mom is ideologically possessed by the vax. The vax, she's a vax bot. She's thinking kind of, you know, like a robot or algorithmically. You know, like if this, if that, then this. With no room for variation. So, but I, you know, I can see that. I can see that she's thinking that way. And I see that she's kind of trapped, because the other part of ideological possession is people are possessed. It's a form of possession. It is a form of slavery. You become enslaved to ideas. She is enslaved to the idea of the vaccine as a savior. And I can see that, and so I can let that go just as easily as I can let go the, you know, any other, anything else. I can let go of let's say that someone's trying to deliberately screw me over, or deliberately be mean, or they just, or whether they do it deliberately or not. Maybe it's inadvertent. I have to let it go. I was in this restaurant a while ago, went here, and I sat there for probably a good, I didn't really time it, but probably upwards, certainly 5 minutes, maybe upwards of 10 minutes, before the waitress actually even kind of noticed me, that I was there. They kept walking by. Finally, I made eye contact with one of them and got her to come over. Sometimes that happens. Now, I could take that as a slight, but I'm sure that, you know, I don't think they deliberately avoided me. I think they may have looked and saw, oh, he might have already, somebody else might have already been sitting there. And they may have just thought that it was the same person. You never know. But I could have took that as, you know, become insulted by it and, you know, gone off into a tizzy in my own mind. But I didn't. I just sat there, and then finally, you know, one of them, finally I caught their eye and got them to come over, and they took the order, and then I, you know, it was eight, and then it was out of there. But it's to my advantage to let things go, whether they're inadvertent or whether deliberate. And so the same thing can be said for people that are ideologically possessed. I just have to make an allowance for them because they are possessed. You know, I've been possessed by different things. So I can understand that. Absolutely, I can understand that. So, anyway, I've got about a 5-minute file from Joel. I haven't listened to it yet. He just sent it earlier today, so we'll be listening to it together for the first time. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. This is Joel McLaughlin here. Wife's doing okay. No problems with her chest. It's all, in fact, her pain's starting to go away. It won't fully heal until, I think he said 4 to 6 weeks. So, but her pain's definitely getting better. And it winds up, and here's something to think about. The heart thing that we saw on the x-ray, the x-ray person did, I didn't see the x-ray. The doctor talked about, something I never really thought about, but my wife has a well-endowed chest, okay? So that plus, you know, she's got a belly on her too, you know, so she couldn't get as close to where the x-ray thing is. So what happened, and what the doctor thinks happened, although they are supposed to schedule her an echocardiogram, but what the doctor thinks happened is because of that, she had to stand further away from it. And just like if you're focusing a camera, it could look larger just because of that. And they ran an EEG on her. That was fine. But now they're going to do the echocardiogram on it, which is a kind of like a sonogram of her heart just to make sure that things are okay, which they probably are. But as for the ribs, the cracked ribs, they're fine. Kind of amazed that she got cracked ribs because our airbags did not go off. And it really, honestly, I wasn't going that fast when I finally hit the guardrail because I was slowing down. I started, like I said, started to slide a little bit. So if it wasn't for that sliding, I probably could have stopped and avoided the whole thing altogether. On the other side of that coin, though, is I'm sitting here in my brand new 2022 Chevrolet Traverse RS. It's not as nice as my old one in some ways, but nicer in other ways. For example, this has the full camera system all around it, which I actually use all the time. Usually when I'm out and about, right before I pull into the spot, I'll hit the home button on this thing. I actually, because I use it so much, I actually moved the camera button on the infotainment system onto the first screen, because then I just hit home and then hit tap the camera and I can see the camera system. And you can change the views that you see mostly on the right, but the one I actually end up using is the one where it takes the images from all four cameras around the car, because there are four cameras. There's one in the front, one in the back, somewhere on the side. I haven't figured out where the sides are yet, but and it kind of gives you an approximation of what it would look like if somebody, like if you had a drone flying over your car. The nice thing with that is I can actually use that to help me fit in the lines on the in the parking lot. I'm usually pretty good at hitting them, but I always hit the overhead just to make sure that I'm in the lines. And it's really, really useful. Further things are, like, I can change the view and actually look at both either the forward or the rearward tires. I can also do like an overhead view that would kind of show you what it would look like if I had a camera right over the the trailer hitch, which this does have a hitch on it, although the trailing capacity is, or towing capacity is pretty low. I think it's at first I thought it was 5,000, but it's not 5,000 unless you have the a all-wheel drive one, and I could not find an all-wheel drive one. So this is what I got. So I really enjoy driving this thing, and I'm listening to the rest of your show as I wait in line at the Starbucks to get a free coffee.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. Yeah, so it's really good. Your wife probably doesn't have a problem, but, you know, it's probably, you know, like they're going to do the sonogram or whatever, echocardiogram, sonogram. That's probably a good idea, just to be sure. But sometimes things can kind of show up but that aren't really there in x-rays or, you know, or MRIs for that matter. Sometimes things can show up that, you know, that might be an anomaly of some sort that, you know, because the thing is we all, you know, we all have similar physiology. You know, we all kind of have, physiologically, we're all kind of similar, but the actual specimen, each one is unique. You know, we may be very similar, but, you know, we can all be very different as well. You know, even though it's sort of the same, you know, same organs and same this and same that, there's a lot of variation in the actual way that things are constructed. So it's probably a good idea just to have them check it and, you know, just be sure. But she's probably fine. Now, as I understand it, and as you said in the prior file you sent me, if you have cracked ribs, then there's really nothing they can do about that. Probably what happened, you said, even though the airbags did not go off, probably what happened, the seat belts probably certainly tightened down, and so it, you know, and then plus you have you know, you come to an abrupt halt and you're going to have forward momentum, and there may have been some, you know, since you did hit the guardrail on her side, on the passenger side, there may have been some other kind of an impact that, and then also she, you know, part of it, she may have tensed certain muscles up as well that caused the cracked ribs. So there's a variety of things that probably went into it. And, you know, hopefully she's not suffering from any kind of osteoporosis, because that could also be something to think about. You know, why would the ribs crack, you know, easily? Because there, you know, there might be some kind of osteoporosis problem as well. So that might be something to think about. But anyway, I've watched, not recently, but in the past, I've watched a bunch of car reviews. There's this, you know, the Doug DeMuro ones, and then I'm sure you know who you've watched the Doug DeMuro videos. I haven't watched any of his videos really lately. But there's a bunch of people that do car reviews. There's a German one. It's called Autogenfuel. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but it basically translates as like automotive dreams, or, you know, but it's Autogenfuel. But anyway, that one is usually, it's always in English, typically, and, you know, even though it's German people doing it, they're giving the review in English, and so they'll, you know, a lot of times they'll kind of go through the systems, the infotainment system and the cameras, and they'll show the top-down view, and, you know, that's kind of nifty that they're able to, use those different cameras and do that. Now, the cameras themselves, you know, you say you haven't figured out where they're at. I'm guessing that they're probably in the door pillars. I don't know, is that called a B pillar? Because you have the A pillar, it's probably the B pillar. I know it's in the B pillar on a lot of vehicles, and they're able to sort of hide them. But if you really can't find it, you could probably go online and figure out, someone's figured that out, and it would be useful to know where they're at, just in case the car gets dirty or whatever, and you kind of, you know, when during the winter or whatever, and you want to be able to clean the camera, or at least where the camera is. And so it's probably somewhere in the B pillar, but not necessarily. But that is kind of nifty that they're able to kind of create a very realistic looking top down view, as if you, like you say, is from taken from an overhead drone. That's quite the trick, really, to stitch those images together. Then, of course, they have to know what color the car is in order to do that. So it's kind of a sophisticated thing system that they've put together. So, but that I can see where that would be quite useful to have. Especially with getting in the lines. It's really kind of hard to get, you know, right in the center and get, you know, because a lot of people don't. And then once someone starts parking, they're off, then everybody's going to be off. glad you're enjoying your new vehicle. So anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to an end, see if I can get it uploaded. It's not quite dark yet. What time is it? 5:11. So it's on its way. All the street lights have turned on. It's not quite dark yet. But get this uploaded. And then I slept. I don't know. I woke up about... I was tired last night. So I went to bed about 5 o'clock. I was at North Platte, Nebraska. So I went ahead and I went to bed at about 5 o'clock, and then I woke up, I think it was around 1:30-ish. I woke up, and then I was awake for a while. I didn't get up. I stayed in bed, and then I went back. At some point, I went back to sleep, and then I woke up again at probably 5:30, 5:45, something like that. And then I eventually got up about, it's probably a 6 or somewhat after I got up. I went ahead and got up and went inside. There's a Denny's, and so I ate before I started driving, and then I drove from, took the empty trailer that I picked up in North Platte, took it to Lexington, Nebraska, did a fairly quick drop and hook there, and so then, as I said before, now I'm on my way to Edgerton, Kansas, and got to be there at 7 a.m. So I'll probably go to bed at some point, and since I got so much sleep last night, I don't know if I probably will sleep a little bit, but like I said, I'll leave here by about 4 a.m. and then so that I'm able to make it down there in time for the, you know, a good hour before the appointment. And then kind of go from there after that. So in any case, hope everyone has had a good weekend. Hope you have a good week coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.